After a while, there was somebody playing a guitar outside our door. Played right smart while. It sounded lovely, too. But it was sad to hear it feeling blue, like Janie was. Then whoever it was started to singing, "Ring the bells of mercy, call the sinner man home." Her heart all but smothered her. "Tea cake, is that you?" "You know so well as me, Janie, how come you don't open the door?" But he never waited. He walked on in with a guitar and a grin. Guitar hanging around his neck with a red silk cord and a grin hanging from his ears. "Don't need to ask me where I've been all this time, 'cause it's my all-day job to tell you."
"Tea cake, I..."
"Good Lord, Janie, what you doing sitting on the floor?" He took her head in his hands and eased himself into the chair. She still didn't say anything. He sat stroking her head and looking down into her face. "I'll see what it is. You doubted me about the money. Thought I had done, took it and gone. I don't blame you, but it wasn't like you think. The girl baby ain't born and her mama is dead that can get me to spend our money on her. I told you before that you got the keys to the kingdom. You can depend on that. Still and all, you went off and left me all day and all night. 'Twasn't 'cause I wanted to stay off like that, and the sure Lord wasn't no woman. If you didn't have the power to hold me and hold me tight, I wouldn't be calling you Miss Woods. I met plenty of women before I knowed you to talk to. You's the onlyest woman in the world I ever even mentioned getting married to. You being older don't make no difference. Don't never consider that no more. If I ever gets to messing around another woman, it won't be on account of her age. It'll be because she got me in the same way you got me, so I can't help myself." He sat down on the floor beside her and kissed and playfully turned up the corner of her mouth until she smiled. "Look here, folks," he announced to an imaginary audience. "Sister Woods is about to quit her husband." Janie laughed at that and let herself lean on him. Then she announced to the same audience, "Miss Woods got herself a new little boy rooster, and he's been off somewhere and won't tell her." "First thing, though, us got to eat together, Janie. Then we can talk." "One thing, I won't send you out after no fish." He pinched her in the side and ignored what she said. "'Tain't no need of neither one of us working this morning. Call Miss Samuels and let her fix whatever you want."
"Tea cake, if you don't hurry up and tell me, I'll take and beat your head flat as a dime."
Tea cake stuck out till he had some breakfast. Then he talked and acted out the story. He spied the money while he was tying his tie. He took it up and looked at it out of curiosity and put it in his pocket to count it while he was out to find some fish to fry. When he found out how much it was, he was excited and felt like letting folks know who he was. Before he found the fish market, he met a fella he used to work with at the roundhouse. One word brought on another one, and pretty soon he made up his mind to spend some of it. He never had had his hand on so much money before in his life, so he made up his mind to see how it felt to be a millionaire. They went on out to Callahan, round the railroad shops, and he decided to give a big chicken and macaroni supper that night, free to all. He bought up the stuff, and he found somebody to pick the guitar so they all could dance some. So they sent a message all around for people to come. And come they did. A big table loaded down with fried chicken and biscuits and a wash tub full of macaroni with plenty of cheese in it. When the fella began to pick the box, the people began to come from east, west, north, and Australia. And he stood in the door and paid all the ugly women $2 not to come in. One big Marani-colored woman was so ugly till it was worth $5 for her not to come in, so he gave it to her. They had a big time,
till one man come in who thought he was bad. He tried to pull and haul over all the chickens and pick out the livers and gizzards to eat. Nobody else couldn't pacify him, so they called Tea Cake to come see if he could stop him. So Tea Cake walked up and asked him, "Say, what's the matter with you nohow? I don't want nobody handing me nothing, especially don't issue me no rations. I always chooses my rations." He kept right on plowing through the pile of chicken, so Tea Cake got mad. "You got more nerve than a brass monkey. Tell me, what post office did you ever pee in, I craves to know?" "What you mean by that now?" the fella asked. "I mean this. It takes just as much nerve to cut caper like that in a United States government post office as it do to come pulling and hauling over any chicken I'll pay for. Hit the ground. Damn if I ain't gonna try you this night." So they all went outside to see if Tea Cake could handle the boogaboo. Tea Cake knocked out two of his teeth, so that man went on off from there. Then two men tried to pick a fight with one another, so Tea Cake said they had to kiss and make up. They didn't want to do it. They'd rather go to jail. But everybody else liked the idea, so they made them do it. Afterwards, both of them spit and gagged and wiped their mouths with the back of their hand. One went outside and chewed a little grass like a sick dog, he said, to keep it from killing him. Then everybody began to holler at the music because the man couldn't play but three pieces. So Tea Cake took the guitar and played himself. He was glad of the chance because he hadn't had his hand on a box since he put his in the pawn shop to get some money to hire a car for Janie soon after he met her. He missed his music. So that put him in the notion he ought to have one. He bought the guitar on the spot and paid $15 cash. It was really worth $65 any day. Just before day, the party wore out. So Tea Cake hurried on back to his new wife. He had done found out how rich people feel, and he had a fine guitar and $12 left in his pocket, and all he needed now was a great big old hug and kiss from Janie. "You must have thought your wife was powerful ugly. Them ugly women that you paid $2 not to come in could get to the dough. You never even allowed me to get that close," she pouted. "Janie, I would have give Jacksonville with Tampa for a jump back for you to be there with me. I started to come get you 2-3 times. "Well, how come you didn't come get me?" "Janie, would you have come if I did?" "Sure I would. I likes fun just as good as you do." "Janie, I wanted to mighty much, but I was scared. Too scared I might lose you." "Why?" "Them wasn't no high muckety mucks. Them was railroad hands and the women folks. You ain't used to folks like that, and I was scared you might get all mad and quit me for taking you amongst them. But I wanted you with me just the same. Before us got married, I made up my mind not to let you see no commonness in me. When I get mad habits on, I'd go off and keep it out of your sight. 'Tain't my notion to drag you down with me." "Look here, Tea Cake, if you ever go off from me and have a good time like that and then come back here telling me how nice I is, I expects to kill you dead, you hear me?" "So you aims to partake with everything, huh?" "Yeah, Tea Cake, don't care what it is." "That's all I wants to know. From now on, use my wife and my woman and everything else in the world I needs."
"I hope so."
"And, honey, don't you worry about your little old $200. It's big payday this coming Saturday at the railroad yards. I'm going to take this $12 in my pocket and win it all back and more."
"How?"
"Honey, since you loose me and give me privilege to tell you all about myself, I tell you. You done married one of the best gamblers God ever made. Cards or dice, either one. I can take a shoestring and win a tan yard. Wish you could see me rolling. But this time, it's going to be nothing but tough men talking all kinds of talk, so it ain't no place for you to be. But it won't be long before you see me." All the rest of the week, Tea Cake was busy practicing up on his dice. He would flip them on the bare floor, on the rug, and on the bed. He'd squat and throw, sit in a chair and throw, and stand and throw. It was very exciting to Janie, who had never touched dice in her life. Then he'd take his deck of cards and shuffle and cut, and deal out, then examine each hand carefully and do it again. So Saturday came. He went out and bought a new switchblade knife and two decks of Starback playing cards that morning and left Janie around noon. They'll start to paying off pretty soon now. I wants to get in the game whilst the big money's in it. I ain't for no spudding today, or I'll come back on a stretcher. He cut 9 hairs out of the mole of her head for luck and went off happy. Janie waited till midnight without worrying, but after that she began to be afraid, so she got up and sat around scared and miserable, thinking and fearing all sorts of dangers, wondering at herself, as she had many times this week, that she was not shocked at T-Kate's gambling. It was part of him, so it was all right. She rather found herself angry at imaginary people who might try to criticize. Let the old hypocrites learn to mind their own business and leave other folks alone. T-Cake wasn't doing a bit more harm trying to win himself a little money than they was always doing with their lying tongues. T-Cake had more good nature under his toenails than they had in their so-called Christian hearts. She better not hear none of them old backbiters talking about her husband. Please, Jesus, don't let them nasty niggas hurt her, boy. If they do, Master Jesus, grant her a good gun and a chance to shoot them. T-Cake had a knife, it was true, but that was only to protect himself. God knows T-Cake wouldn't harm a fly. Daylight was creeping around the cracks of the world when Janie heard a feeble rap on the door. She sprang to the door and flung it wide. T-Cake was out there, looking like he was asleep standing up. In some strange way, it was frightening. Janie caught his arm to arouse him, and he stumbled into the room and fell.
T-Cake! You child! What's the matter, honey?
They cut me, that's all. Don't cry. Get me out of this coat quick as you can. He told her he wasn't cut but twice, but she had to have him naked so she could look him all over and fix him up to a certain extent. He told her not to call a doctor unless he got much worse. It was mostly loss of blood, anyhow. I won the money, just like I told you. Around midnight, I had your $200 and was ready to quit, even though it was a heap more money in the game, but they wanted a chance to win it back, so I sat back down to play some more. I know the old Double Ugly was about broke and wanted to fight about it, so I sat back down to give him his chance to get back his money and then to give him a quick trip to hell if he tried to pull that razor I glimpsed in his pocket. Honey, no up-to-date man don't fool with no razor. The man with his switchblade, we be done cut you to death while you fooling with a razor. But Double Ugly brags he's too fast with it to get hurt. But I knowed better. So, around about 4 o'clock, I done cleaned them out, complete. All except 2 men that got up and left while they had money for groceries and 1 man that was lucky. Then I rose to bid them goodbye again. None of them didn't like it, but they all realized it was fair. I had done give them a fair chance, all but Double Ugly. He claimed I switched the dice. I shoved the money down deep in my pocket and picked up my hat and coat with my left hand and kept my right hand on my knife. I didn't care what he said, long as he didn't try to do nothing. I got my hat on and 1 arm in my coat as I got to the door. Right there he jumped at me as I turned to see the doorstep outside and cut me twice in the back. Baby, I run my other arm in my coat sleeve and grabbed that nigga by his necktie before he could bat his eye, and then I was all over him, just like gravy over rice. He lost his razor trying to get loose from me. He was hollering for me to turn him loose, but baby, I turned him every way but loose. I left him on the doorstep and got here to you the quickest way I could. I know I ain't cut too deep because he was too scared to run up on me close enough. Sort of pulled the flesh together with sticking plaster. I'll be all right in a day or so. Janie was painting on iodine and crying. You ain't the one to be crying, Janie. It's his old lady ought to do that. You done give me luck. Look in my left-hand pants pocket and see what your daddy brought you. When I tell you I'm going to bring it, I don't lie. They counted it together. $322. It was almost like Tea Cake had held up the paymaster. He made her take the $200 and put it back in a secret place. Then Janie told him about the other money she had in the bank. Put that $200 back with the rest, Janie. My dice. I don't need no assistant to help me feed my woman. From now on, you're going to eat whatever my money can buy you and wear the same. When I ain't got nothing, you don't get nothing. That's all right with me. He was getting drowsy, but he pinched her leg playfully because he was glad she took things the way he wanted her to. Listen, Mama, as soon as I get over this little cut and scrape, we gonna do something crazy. What's that? We going on the muck. What's the muck? Where is it at? Oh, down in the Everglades round Clewiston and Bell Glade where they raise all that cane and string beans and tomatoes. Folks don't do nothing down there but make money and fun and foolishness. They must go there. He drifted off into sleep, and Janie looked down on him and felt a self-crushing love. So her soul crawled out from its hiding place.